Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Yourself a
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. The Huskers hold on for a thrilling opening win against the Cincinnati Bearcats Thursday night at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. It had all the trappings of an exciting opening season opener, whatever you want to call it, including the newly engaged Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Patrick Mahomes was there. All kinds of eyeballs on this game.
Red really carpet important, event.
Really Red important carpet for the Huskers to get this W. We're going to talk all about it. First, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Subscribe on YouTube. Like this episode. Sign up for the newsletter on the website. Follow all the social media accounts. It's football season now, baby. If you haven't signed up yet, you got to do it. Keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. Guys, we've also got a couple new sponsors we're excited to talk about this football season.
Partnership.
Hey, speaking of, what's more Nebraskan than football and beef? Oak Barn Beef is a family-owned farm right in Nebraska, shipping premium dry-aged beef straight to doorsteps nationwide. And we've got a lot of listeners from sea to shining sea. So you don't have to be in Nebraska to order from Oak Barn Beef. You can be anywhere. Whether you're looking to stock the freezer, grill for game day, or if you're looking for a gift that actually impresses, Oak Barn Beef delivers. Check them out at oakbarnbeef.com and taste the difference of Nebraska-raised dry-aged beef. We're really excited about Oak Barn Beef. It's a small family business, growing family business. Right in Nebraska, and they dry age their beef. Check out the website. It's really impressive how they prepare their beef and dry age their beef. It's going to be like premium steakhouse restaurant style stuff that you can get shipped right to your front door. So check out oakbarnbeef.com.
Delicious.
About them. All right, guys, we're gonna flip the format a little bit. We're going to do corn cobs early. As Common Fans know, we like to award corn cobs as an honorary game ball. We do this every game. Before we do that, I'm gonna give a little teaser of what I want to talk about, guys.
We're gonna get into the whole game. Let's tease.
The team that I saw on Thursday night, August 28th, year of our Lord 2025, is not a playoff team.
No.
But
week one.
That doesn't mean that we still can't make a special run this year. Okay.
That's right.
It doesn't mean we can't improve by leaps and bounds and turn this into a really special year. The most important thing was getting out of there with the W, and that's what the Huskers did.
We did it.
Right. Okay. We're going to come back to that. We're going to talk through all the game. Let's talk about corn cobs. And speaking of our new sponsors, the corn cob segment is now brought to you by the Nebraska Farm Bureau, the largest agricultural organization in the state with more than 56,000 members. For over a century, Farm Bureau has supported Nebraska's farm and ranch families, but their impact stretches far beyond the field. They grow leaders, amplify voices at the Capitol, and strengthen communities across our state. Agriculture is the backbone of Nebraska. When it thrives, we all thrive. Join Nebraska Farm Bureau today at nefb.org, nefb.org. Guys, I love it when we hear from folks who say they're listening to the show in the combine or in the tractor or out in the field. And we know a lot of those folks are Nebraska Farm Bureau members. It's a great organization representing Nebraska's farmers and ranchers from the eastern edge of the state all the way out to Scotts Bluff and everywhere in between. Very excited to have this partnership with the Farm Bureau as well. Awesome. Corn cobs. What do we got, Matty? Start us off.
I am going to start it off by maybe not necessarily breaking the rules, but I'm going to take a really sharp knife and I'm going to cut my corn cob in half. I'm going to give half of my corn cob to Dane Key, who's going to be known as probably Mr. Automatic in my house, and Isaiah Hunter. Because those two guys, each six catches, each caught a touchdown, very sure-handed, we're getting open, and I love what I'm seeing from those two guys. You throw in a little Ja'Cory, you know, and you're cooking with some serious ingredients here. So I loved what I saw out of the wideouts, and it's good to, you know, have that hype and then have them look good and look what you thought they might look like on the field on Thursday night. So I'm going half corn cob Dane Key, half corn cob and Isaiah Hunter.
I love it.
Excellent picks, Matty-O. You know, I usually go for Hollywood, but I am going to take a different route this season and try and be a little bit more open-minded. So my corn cob is going to go to special teams with our guy, Kyle Cunanan. We talked about it before the season started. Special teams are going to be the difference between wins and losses, and that's exactly what we had going for us against Cincinnati. If you think about it, we don't drain a 52-yarder between the uprights. That's the difference between an overtime game or worse. So we had to have that. And we don't usually make those types of kicks. So it was refreshing to see that. So I've got to give it to Kyle the Kicker Cunanan.
Love it.
Kyle the Kicker Cunanan.
And shout out to Archie,
I came up with that.
Shout out to Archie for those punts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. We'll probably talk about that more.
He's a rabbit ambipedalist.
You're a rabbit ambipedalist.
Which means, common fans, he can kick with both feet, for those who haven't heard. Okay. My corn cob is going to, okay, I'm going to split mine in half too. But I'm going to go, we're going all offense and special teams, I guess here. I thought Emmett Johnson looked fantastic.
Yes.
We said it, not to pat ourselves on the back, but we're going to. We said it last season, going into last season. One could argue that whenever he got his chance on the field, he proved it. It's clearly obvious this season, but Emmett's the best back on the roster. He's the workhorse, right? He was clearly the workhorse. And we'll get into, you know, we need to see more from some of the other guys. But Emmett looked fantastic. 108 yards rushing. He had several catches. I think he had 29 yards receiving or something like that. But Emmett looked fantastic. And, I mean, he's quick. He's fast. He's bulked up a bit. Just a solid all-around back. And then, of course, Dylan Raiola. And I think we did this last year. I mean, you could give Dylan the corn cob every episode.
Right.
And so we want to give him a shout-out here, this first one. I'm sure we'll give it to him again many times. But also, he just gets, like, an honorary corn cob for the season because he could probably get one just about every game, every episode. But Dylan looks solid. And, look, I don't – like, we'll talk about this. He wasn't asked to do a ton. The Huskers didn't take a lot of deep shot, but he completed almost 80% of his passes. He looked solid. He took off and ran and got a key first down. And it just, like, I'm excited to see, like, in the coming weeks, as this offense, I think, evolves a little bit more, what's all in store for Dylan and this offense. Because I think there's going to be, there's more under the hood than what we saw on Thursday. So I'm excited to see what that's all about. So our three corn cobs were given to five players. So Kyle Cunanan, Dane Key, Isaiah Hunter, two newcomers we got in the transfer portal who made an impact right away. And then, of course, the stalwarts, Dylan Raiola and Emmett Johnson. Mm. Okay, boys. So I felt like the first quarter was kind of your typical, it's the opener.
Feeling
everybody's nervous. Yeah, everybody's nervous. Everybody's anxious. and both teams a little bit sloppy, whatever. And then I felt like the Huskers dominated the second quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we pushed Cincinnati around. We ran the ball really well. We should have had more points because we had first and goal at like the half yard line, the 10 inch line, whatever it was. And Elijah Pritchett jumped off sides and moved him back. And so then we had to settle for a field goal there. Hats off to Kyle Cunanan for making that field goal. But then, you know, Vincent Shavers gets the big hit, forces the fumble. Huskers get the ball in prime field position. And they end up throwing the fade to Nizaiah Hunter, who catches it. That was not an easy ball to catch. That was a great.
No, that was beautiful. That was, speaking of Hollywood, that was the definition of Hollywood there.
Yeah,
I mean, that was absolutely one of the greatest catches of probably one of the greatest catches of the weekend, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And so I think here's the thing for me, guys. Going into halftime, I felt like, okay, we're up 13-3. We get the ball to start the second half. We're for sure going to go down and get points, probably score a touchdown. And we never want to say put the game away because, you know, Husker teams of recent years have learned they've got to play four quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like if we could go up 20-3, the whole crowd is Husker fans, going to take all the air out of the balloon on the
cruising.
And the drive started off promising. We got some first downs. We got to the other side of the 50. And I didn't hate the call. I think they were on about Cincinnati's 42-yard line, and they went for it on 4th-and-2. I saw Sam McEwen and Brian Christopherson both commented. They felt like, I think Sam said Emmett was open right away, and BC said he thought Dane Key was open. Dylan just held the ball a little bit too long, was lucky not to get picked off there.
Could have been pick six, too.
Probably would have been. And so that, like, I got to be honest with you guys, that started the old feeling of uneasiness that did not go away for the rest of the half.
No, did not.
Go ahead, Jeff, go ahead.
I was just going to say that panic mode started to slowly creep back into the back of my head again. There's that feeling like, oh, we've seen this story. We've seen this movie before. We know how this plot plays out. Yeah, I felt it for sure.
Yes.
Well, we'll get.
Go ahead, Matteo. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, and this is like broadly speaking, not just, you know, any specific time in the game, but you take out Sorsby's scrambling and they virtually did nothing. Like, he had like 90 some yards rushing and like 60 yards passing. Like, could not throw the ball on us. So that's comforting.
Yep.
Now, to me, you know, you're playing athletic quarterback. I think you can fix that. I think you can figure that out and how to scheme against that. Where, you know, you obviously the defensive calls that we had were not accounting for him like taking off and running. Cause that one that he had that was like 30 some yards, there was nobody in the middle of the field. Like, to me, you've kind of figured that out. And it's a game, that's a week one, game one thing, right? Like, hey, we play an athletic quarterback. We need to put a spy on him or something like that. To me, you can fix that.
I saw you. Sorry, Matteo, were you gonna say something else?
No, you're good.
Well, I just I felt like a lot of panic on social media during the game and after, basically like, oh, I thought I'd see more here. And that's fair. Yeah. Like I said, what we saw on Thursday night is not a playoff ready team. Maybe that's the way to say it. They're not a playoff ready team yet. And I think I hoped for more from the offense for sure. But the defense too, but let's get some perspective here, especially talking about the defense. They gave up, I just had the numbers in front of me. Come on, TJ. They gave up.
It was too much rushing. I know that. It's 200.
So 202 yards rushing. Sorsby had 96 of those. So again, not excusing it. Like, Nebraska's had problems with rushing quarterbacks, it feels like, you know, since the Reagan administration. But maybe not that long. I guess those teams in the 90s were pretty good. But so not excusing it, you got to, you know, a lot of people were commenting on social media, could we put a spy on Sorsby, please? Like, somebody who's like solely responsible for him and not let him take off. But if you take away that, which was kind of an X factor that Cincinnati had, Sorsby only had 69 yards passing and They had what's 202 minus 96, you know, a little over 100 yards rushing outside of what Sorsby did.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and 271 yards total and 17 points. Like, you'll take that. If you give up, again, I don't know how good Cincinnati's supposed to be or whatever, but you'll take 200, keeping them below 300 yards.
Yeah.
There were some, yes, there were some busts at bad times, and that was concerning. And there were times when it felt like the run defense was really strong, and there were other times it felt like they were getting pushed around. So, again, I think it's too early to say. It's too early to say, yes, this team,
one game,
this team's going to shut Michigan down or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But the most important, a buddy of mine who's just a big college football fan, he's not from Nebraska. Well, he grew up in Nebraska somewhat. He's not a Nebraska fan. Called me before the game. He's like, look, you guys just need to get the W. I don't care if it's a one-point W.
Yeah.
You've got to get out of there with the W. And I think that's what we talked about with Michael Sevier and in our preseason episodes. All of us picked this as a win. Every time we did schedule predictions, we always predicted it as a win. I feel like as we got closer to the season, we got more and more nervous about
Cincinnati.
Neutral site game. It's not a cupcake. It's a Big 12 team.
They have a few dudes.
Yeah, and Michael suggests he thought Sorsby was really good. And they have some free. That Dante Corleone was as advertised, I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, and especially, I mean, guys, when they were driving down the field at the end of the game, I was like, they're in field goal range.
Yeah.
At best, we're going to overtime.
Yeah.
Thank God for the inexplicable play call by Cincy there. I don't know. I'm not like the biggest game manager, but I don't know what the hell they were thinking throwing that fade to the end zone.
Just when have Sorsby keep running it.
Yeah. Running.
It felt.
Get in the middle of the field, line up for a quick field goal. Thank God they didn't do that. Thank God they didn't do that.
Like, I'm sure the call was like, to me, like they're trying to get the lead and get out of there with a win and regulation is what I felt like. Yeah. That's the reason. I think that's the reason you make a call like that. Like go for the throat kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was pretty cool, too, because I think Malcolm Hartsog was on the coverage when they converted that 4th-and-7, which would have won the game for us. And then Hartsog had the defensive holding penalty.
In a rough series.
And so he had like a rough couple of plays there to see him then come through with the game-winning interception.
Yeah, that was
great. Game-stealing interception was pretty cool. Yeah.
And you don't want to read too much into that, but that's like an experienced guy. Again, it's been here forever. Culture, like that's a culture play. Like a guy that was able to forget about the two previous plays that he had a rough go of it and make a game sealing interception.
The best part about that play, in my opinion, was I don't know if you saw it on Twitter X or whatever you call it, Travis Kelce's reaction to that.
Play. I saw that. It was so good. He flipped.
I was dying. Yep.
So good. So, I mean, guys, a few things like, especially looking at that second half. So we were down 3-0 after the first quarter. Then we score 13 unanswered in the second quarter. We're up 13-3. So we already talked about this. Like we stall out on our drive to open the half. And then let me look at this. Did they score right away? I think they went and scored after that.
Their first second half drive, I think. It was a long drive.
Yeah. So we turned it over on downs. They scored. We punted, they punted. So it's 13-10 going into the fourth quarter. So again, like we buttoned it up after giving up that touchdown, but it's a little disappointing that, I mean, the offense at least took 4 or 5 minutes off the clock. They at least got on the right side of the 50-yard line. You'd love to see the defense bow up there and get a stop. Whatever, still have the lead 13-10. Then we trade a couple of punts. And then the Huskers score that we take a set to start the fourth quarter, and it might have started in the third quarter. I don't remember, but going like in the fourth quarter, it was end of third, into fourth. We put together a 7-minute drive and score another touchdown. That was when they went for it on fourth down, fourth and goal, fourth and two. I think we could have gotten a first down with like 1 yard to go, basically. But it was fourth and two right on the goal line, and they went for it, and Dylan threw the touchdown pass to Dane Key. That was huge. So that was another one where it's like, okay, breathe. We're up 20-10. There's about 10 minutes left. Let's at least, if they're going to go down and get points, let's make them earn it. Let's make them take some time off the clock. Ideally, we get a stop and kind of put this thing away now that it's the fourth quarter. They went 75 yards, 9 plays in 3 minutes and 21 seconds.
They earned it.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I was going to bring up, TJ, that's a big time concern, because we like that 7-minute drive. That's plenty of time for the defense to like rest up.
Yes.
Catch their breath and get back in it. And it almost seemed like even after that much time off the field, it's like they were gassed right immediately when they were back out there again. They just seemed tired. So I don't know if that's like a strength training thing or whatever, but that kind of makes me a little bit nervous there. They had all that time to rest and get ready, and they just weren't. And then they just freaking carved us up.
Yeah. I mean, you could say, you could argue, I would say on the whole, Nebraska looked like the better team. You could argue Cincinnati played better in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
One could argue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so then they scored to make it 2017. We get the ball. You know, you guys remember this, like we get a few first downs. We had a 10 play drive. And how many times have we talked about this? How many times have we seen it in recent years? One more first down and we win the game, mm-hmm. and we couldn't do it. So we had to punt, and Cincinnati gets the ball with, I think it was under 2 minutes left. And, you know, they start going down the field. We force that fourth and seven. One thing I'll say, and other folks have commented on this too, I didn't love the Nebraska timeout at fourth and seven. Mm-hmm. That it felt like Cincinnati was kind of about to stall out. It felt like they were discombobulated. And I assume there was a reason Rule called the timeout. Like perhaps the defense was out of a line. Like perhaps he needed to call the timeout.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't, because it felt like it gave Cincinnati a chance to regroup,
yep.
dial up a play that they then got the first down. Well, they got that first down, guys, and then followed that up with the holding call to get into field goal range. I felt like it's impossible not to have the here we go again feeling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, yeah. There's not one person in the state that didn't have that feeling. There's no way. Like,
right.
Like I said, we've seen it play out like this so many times.
Yeah, I didn't love the timeout call either. But, you know, that's one of those things where I get it. Here, you stop them here, a game's over kind of thing, right? Like, it's kind of, it goes both ways. Like, I get they're reeling. You don't know if you want to give them the time to get something together. But also, like, hey, let's get a stop here, game's over.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could argue the defense was trying to dial up their perfect play to make a stop, right? So yeah. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Yep.
Look, most important thing, we make the game-changing play, the game-winning play that yes. we so often haven't made in recent years. It doesn't matter. You know, it's funny because I had that conversation with my buddy and I agreed, like, just get out with a W. Mm-hmm. Weird things happen on these openers against Power 5 teams, neutral site game, all kinds of, Nebraska's lost this game more often than they've won it in recent years. Just get out with a W. But during the game, I was just so angry about, oh, the offense isn't good enough. The defense isn't good enough. Like, I was so angry. But immediately, like, when you just take a step back, it kind of reminds me of friend of the program, Evan Bland, has given this example many times. Minnesota 2019. They had three pretty subpar non-conference opponents. I remember South Dakota State was one of them. I'm pretty sure they almost lost two or all three of those. Like they were really close games.
Mm-hmm.
By the names on the jerseys, it felt like it shouldn't have been as close. Like Minnesota should have won more handily. They found a way to win all three, and they suddenly put together a special season. They had 11 mm-hmm. wins. I think they ended up 11-2, 11-3, 11-3, something like that. They played in a New Year's Day bowl. And Evan's point has been, even teams that you don't always expect, Indiana last year, although they were just pretty dang good, I think. But even teams you don't expect have had their run. They've had their special season. Well, I don't think we can predict anything with this Nebraska team. But I think like all of our, everything we want to do is still in front of us.
Yeah.
The hopes are still on track. Is it going to play out that way? I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe they're going to end up 7-5 or something. We'd all be disappointed with that. But imagine the flip side. Imagine not getting it done and beating Cincinnati. The sky is falling for 10 days before the Akron game.
Yeah.
Well, remember, you said the beginning of the season was going to set the tone, right? And you don't win that game. That's not the tone you want to have going into the rest of the season. Like, you're right. Like, all was lost at that point. I know the season's over. It would have ruined this weekend for sure. I don't think I'd be able to enjoy watching football this weekend. So you're right. It sets the tone. So the sky's the limit in front of us still, as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
go ahead, Mateo. Go ahead.
You know, you mentioned you tacked through some wins earlier this summer, a few weeks ago, from Baylor's 11-win season with Coach Rule. There was like four games in there that were one score games that they won, like on a blocked kick or like a made kick or a game sealing interception. Like you're going to have these games. And we talk about it almost every episode now. The college football world has changed so much. Like you cannot just expect to just go out and win every single bye game you have anymore. Like it's like, I was looking at the other night. We were one of four Big Ten schools that were playing on Thursday night. Without question, we were playing the toughest opponent out of those four. The other three all struggled. Rutgers could not put away Ohio. Minnesota struggled until late. They pulled away from Buffalo. Like, it's a different world. Wisconsin struggled with, I can't remember, Miami, Ohio. Like, it's a different game, a different world. And, like, you can't expect these kids who are now being paid ridiculous amounts of money. We can argue whether they earn it or not, but you cannot expect these kids to be up the same level every single week.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water. Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
They're looking ahead, right? Like, I'm sure we have guys that are looking ahead. Like, hey, we play Michigan in a few weeks. Like, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. So, like, we just do need, I know part of it is I think we've built this team up just like we do every year throughout a long off season. Like, I know what it's going to look like. Rayola is going to throw for 300. Each one of his stud receivers is going to catch a touchdown. It's going to be, we're going to score 40 points. The games have to be played. And kudos to Cincinnati for being in a cover three, like, the whole game. So, like, you know, when or an average common fan like me saying, like, God, we're really dinking and dunking these guys. Like, there's got to be a reason for that. Well, that's why. You know, you come to find out later after some reflection and like, hey, what happened? What happened in that game, right? Mm-hmm. After the adrenaline, the anxiety all goes away, it's like, what the hell just happened? They're in a cover three like the whole game. Kudos to them because we couldn't throw it. We executed to what I think was probably our game plan against that. We executed it really, really well.
Yeah.
Like, they're planning on you know, overthrows, or they're planning on Dylan being off, thrown into the zone, and he's really good in the zone. So he did a great job, and we just, I think that was just the game plan, was we're going to dink and dunk these guys because we don't want to take a shot deep and try to throw into, you know, into three deep coverage. So right. Yeah. I don't even know what I started with, guys, there. I just was rambling.
Well, you went
the
on,
point, the point, I think the summary is, let's just relax. We got the win.
We got
against
the
Power Four conference opponent. I saw our buddy Dave Fight.
Yeah.
We can call him a friend of the program, can't we? Dave Fight, Fightkin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He said, first Power Conference season opening win for Nebraska since 2003.
I saw
first,
that.
Yeah, I did see that. Yep, you're right. Crazy.
So, like, hey, let's take it. Let's take it and everybody chill.
No one's going to rain on this.
We got a couple of get right.
No, not even
get right games after a win. Like, let's take it.
No, you mentioned NIL. You started talking about NIL there. Did I hear this right? When I was watching the game, they were talking about Archie, the punter, and they showed that clip from the press conference that went viral. And they said that because of that, I think he's gotten a ton of different like endorsements and NIL deals thrown at him. So shout out to our guy, Mitch Sherman, for just getting people paid. Asking that question and just getting the dude.
Good old Mitch with a jerk question.
Yes, friend of this kid crying.
Yeah. Friend, the other thing though, friend of the program. The other thing is,
we love you, Mitch.
Take the W any way you can get it. And I'll tell you, any way you can get it is right, because for that game to be considered a Cincinnati home game is the funniest thing to me ever. Like, I think they had three or four third down false starts because of the noise in the stadium. We traveled so freaking well for that game. That was wild. That place sounded so loud, even on television.
Yeah.
Like, the team played great, but our fans showed out too and made a huge, huge difference in that game. That was awesome. I saw that they had to open the gates early for tailgating because they weren't going to open until 3:30, but the line was so long just to get in that it stretched out onto the highway. And I think people just started tailgating in line to get in to tailgate in the parking lot.
Yeah. I saw the photos and videos. People got their tables out and everything. and then we got Husker fans also got a shout out from the mayor of Kansas City. He's like, thank you for spending money at our hotels and our bars and restaurants. You're welcome back.
Here's the key to the city, Husker fans. The key to the city. Well, even Cincinnati coach Scott Satterfield commented on that and commented how it affected the game. And I sort of wondered if that was like a little bit of a blow at the athletic director. Like, hey, thanks for turning this home game for us into a home game for Nebraska.
I mean, yeah.
But hey, we'll take
a briefcase full of money is worth it, sir.
Not our problems. Not our problems, Satterfield.
Well, so back to the point about getting the win. Look, we're going to beat Akron. We're going to beat Houston Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Next. So we're going to be 3-0 going into Michigan. And it's cliche, but a lot of people always say you make the biggest improvement between week one and week two. Now we can breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can expect to win the next two. Although I saw Wyoming struggled with Akron. They only beat them 10-0.
10-0.
Yeah. But Akron, whatever. I don't know. I think that was, and I don't know.
But also, you can look at this way. Akron couldn't even score a damn point against Wyoming. Right. So.
So I think you got 2 full weeks now, really 3 weeks of practice before the Michigan game and 2 more games to work out some kinks, keep working, keep getting guys reps. I mean, that deep,
get some running backs, get some other running backs, some carries, get a little tread off the old Emmett Brown's tires. Exactly.
88 miles per hour. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, so let's end with, we can kind of keep going with what we're talking about here. Some reasons for concern and some reasons for excitement after week one against Cincinnati. I'll throw out a reason for concern on your point, Matty-O. Mm-hmm. Emmett is clearly the bell cow back. We saw Mekhi Nelson come in. We saw Isaiah Mosey come in. Love that the true freshman got some run.
Touches.
But didn't see a lot from the other two backs. Now the carries were sparse. Let's be clear.
Mm-hmm.
They would get like a carry or two, and it was just to give Emmett a breather. And it's funny. I think Fight was the one who made this point on Twitter. Like, Husker fans forever have been like, can we just have one bell cow back, please?
Now we got him.
And now we got him. And everybody's like, we need more in the road. We need more running backs in the rotation.
Never good enough.
Never good enough. But I like,
we can't do it all.
What you hope is Emmett can get some reps these next two games and then get off the field.
Yeah.
And Nebraska's got the game in hand. One, to keep his legs fresh, but two, let's get some other guys in the rotation. So that'd be a reason for concern, a bit of a reason for concern.
32 touches between carries and receptions for Emmett. You could probably spread out, take five or six away, seven. And spread those out amongst the other guys. Maybe not against Michigan, but the next 2 weeks, I don't think we need to get Emmett more than 20 touches. Exactly. We shouldn't need to.
Exactly. All right, what else? Reason for concern, reason for excitement?
I'll go. It's obvious. Defense, just kind of what we saw there. Letting it get that close down to the wire is a reason for concern, obviously. Like I said, wasn't real happy with what I saw, letting their quarterback just run free and impose his will on us. I guess if there's a bright side to it, they did end up closing out the game, but it was a little bit too close for comfort when it comes to defensive play. So I'm sure that's the most obvious one on the board, but that's the one I'm going with.
I'm going to take yours a step further and get more specific with it. I think the front six or front seven in the run game, like they're because even though I said it, you know, earlier, it's just like, okay, well, Soresby, you take away the screen. But there were some runs where it's like, okay, first and 10, and they get six or seven on first and 10. We can't have that. You know, you got to hold those to one or two or three at the most on first and 10. Mm-hmm. So we got to shore that up a little bit. And I think we can, you know, I think a lot of that says younger guys, you know, the defense, I think if this makes any sense at all, I think looks more explosive and athletic, than they have the last couple of years, but I don't think necessarily as strong, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is, yeah, it's absolutely losing Ty and Nash in the middle there. But I think you can improve on that. I think we'll see RVP get a little saltier, a little bit more improved, and Judy and those guys in the middle and on the D line. I'm gonna go one more though, real quick. The offensive line run blocking, even though Emmett I thought did a good job, they need to do a little bit better in the run blocking, I think. And it wasn't completely obvious to me until I saw like the run blocking grades. Heinrich Harburg had the best run blocking grade of all the Nebraska Cornhuskers. You can't have a converted quarterback as a tight end having your best run blocking grade. Okay. So those offensive linemen, they got to do a little bit better in the run blocking game. Surprisingly, the grades, I thought Pritchett would grade a little bit lower, but there were actually linemen that graded lower than Pritchett. So, you know, the false start was the glaring thing. But apparently, you know, and I didn't notice any big missed assignments. He did give up one sack. I know that big sack. Towards the end there. But anyway, offensive line got to get a little better run blocking, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the, of all those, when you strip out the stats and everything, just the eye test, the O-line I thought looked better than maybe last year. But then there were also times, especially in the second half, where it's like, wait a second, we were just mauling them the whole second quarter. Let's put this thing away. So there were times, and then also like it felt like, you know, and I know they were bringing pressure and bringing extra guys, but it felt like Dylan was under pressure. Like we got a little bit lucky there, guys, because Bonner had that fumble. I hope he's okay, by the way.
He might be out for the year.
Did Rule comment on that? Do we have an update?
I haven't heard yet, but it was like right on the dang knee he got hit.
Yeah.
Like, I know, but Rule was kind of, Tia was pissed off about the hit and thought it might have been dirty or something like that, but.
Yeah. But that ball that he fumbled, that ball rolled out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Dylan got stripped, and the Cincinnati guy, instead of falling on it, tried to pick it up and run with it and ended up knocking it right back to Dylan. Mm-hmm. So we lucked out there times.
For once, something.
But it's our turn. It's our turn.
Yeah, I know.
It's our turn. Exactly. Lucky
those weird things always go the other way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They always happen to other teams and not us.
So I'll give a couple reasons for excitement. A lot of true freshmen on the field.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Isaiah Mosey, Cortez Mills had a catch, true freshman wide receiver. I saw Dawson Merritt on the field. I'm sure there were others. I'm just going by what I saw. I was trying to keep track of it during the
Quinn
game. Quinn Clark had a catch. Nice. He's a redshirt freshman. But just speaking of the youth movement in general, Williams Winery, he really stood out. And that's the guy who was a five-star out of high school, spent a year at Missouri, and then transferred to Nebraska. And he was the one, I think everybody was like, he's going to be good, but it could be a couple years. And by the end of fall camp, it was like, this guy is ready to go. And he showed it. I mean, he made some plays where, like, he came from, you know, pretty far away to make the tackle, or like he initially wasn't in on the play, and then suddenly he's there making that. He was kind of all over the field.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's only going to get better. So the youth movement was promising.
I like that. The youth movement.
And then young and hungry. Young.
Even on the defense, guys, again, I'll go back to this. If you had told us they're going to limit Cincinnati to 271 total yards, Cincinnati's going to only throw for 69 yards.
Yeah.
And again, they had 202 yards rushing, which is frustrating, but about half of that is Sorsby scrambling.
Yeah, true.
The defense is pretty good. Again, does that mean they're gonna hold up when the Michigans of the world try to pound the ball down our throats? I don't know. But, you know, it's not all bad on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, and then another reason for excitement, I'll say, I thought the defensive backs looked pretty good.
Yeah.
They right out of the chute, they tried to throw it up. And the new guy, Andrew Marshall from Idaho.
Yeah, he can play.
Had his guy locked down. Mm-hmm. There were several of those where the D-backs were all over their guys. I thought the defensive backfield overall looked pretty good.
You know who's good? This is Donovan Jones, the Omaha kid.
Yes. Yes.
He's a good ball player.
Definitely.
He's going to be a starter for sure next year.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then I'll say, like, just in general, okay, here's the offensive numbers. I'm going to list this as a reason for concern, you know, with some caveats, but here's the offensive numbers. Dylan had 243 yards passing. He was 33 of 42. Again, that's 77, almost 78%. I mean, that's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns for Dylan. You know, only had 113 yards rushing. You'd like to see that be a little bit better. And so that is, why do I keep losing the total yards? 356 total yards. I don't know, guys, I guess. Again, let me put it this way. In the game, in the moment, when I was all wound up and anxious and angry.
DJ sets these huge standards in his head.
So I do, Jeff. Okay. I do. Especially
ridiculously high standards.
The closer we get to kickoff, the more unreasonable it gets. Yeah. I texted our group of friends, like our group of 12 fantasy football guys, that I thought that the offense was going to score 45 points. If you got
it. You did. Yeah.
So, but there were times during the game where I'm like, ah, oh, this is Satterfield plus. This is not a whole lot better. This
you know
is
what,
not
PJ
any different.
PJ reminds me of Farley on the Bears sketch, like 117-2 Huskers win.
But I will, like, I guess I sort of thought it's with Holgorsen having a whole offseason, it's going to be more like the Wisconsin game last year than maybe some of the other games we saw. Still time for that. Still plenty of time for that. So I'm not, we'll leave that as like an incomplete, but it's definitely a little bit of a reason for concern, I thought.
So we're going with things to be positive, right? We've moved on.
Excitement or concern. Yeah.
I've got the concerns out of the way. To piggyback off of what you said, to be excited about, I don't feel, and Owens, I think you mentioned it during the game too. I don't feel like we got a full picture. I don't think we've seen the full Holgorsen Rayola playbook yet. I feel like this is baby steps, game one. Let's just get in there, get them comfortable, walk out with a W, but we weren't trying to do anything that was out of our area of expertise. We're just trying to get in there. I think you said vanilla. It's just very, very normal play calling, pretty standard, conservative. So I think that there's probably more to it that we're going to get to see more of. I feel like that was the game plan going into this. So I don't think we're quite getting the full picture as far as what the offense can and can't do. And then the second thing, you talked about the defense being athletic, but maybe not strong. I think the thing to be optimistic about is with Hartsog's game-ending interception, the athleticism it took to make that play. When was the last time you saw a Husker player do something like that? Like, that's something that I see on, like, you know, a top one versus two type matchup. Like, balls up for grabs, game's on the line, and that dude came up and made an incredible catch to rip the win away or rip that touchdown away from Cincinnati. You just don't see that. And so I think that kind of gives me we have those athletes and those dudes on our team that can make those plays. And I just, that was really, you know, eye-opening to me.
Well, I feel like in recent years, even if the guy's there, he would have dropped it.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was just refreshing to see that and see somebody get up, make a play, and end the game like we were trying to do. So yeah. I think there's some things to be optimistic about there with the defense too.
And you can tie that into like belief and culture and all those mental hurdles that I feel like, you know, every Husker football coach has had to deal with for the last 10, 11, 12 years is getting your team to believe and think that they can make those plays too. Right. And sure. As far as the offense thing, like we heard Dylan and we heard Dana say, I think at least I did a few times in the offseason, it's take what the defense gives you. Right. We're trying to get Dylan to, hey, make the check down,
yep.
Throw it away. Don't take the sack. We did that the whole game. Like, and so I think it's going to be dictated. It's really is going to be dictated game to game what the offense is going to look like. I mean, Dana's a freaking offensive genius. Like he's smart enough to know, okay, they're going to be in cover three the whole game. And then here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's going to be different game to game. Like Akron, they might decide to go more man. We might do more play action and throw the ball down the field more and try to beat them over the top. Like I really do think it's going to be different game to game. But it's nice having an offensive genius as your offensive coordinator so you can adapt game to game and be like, okay, here's the plan for this game. Like, I'm not worried about the play calling in the slightest. I did not really care for with 2.5 minutes left running like a jet sweep or a jet pass to Barney. Like, give it to Emmett between the tackles.
That felt like it killed the drive.
That, you know, and you'll have that with every, like, you know, we talked about even we love us some Dana. But he still is an offensive coordinator,
yeah.
And he really wants to be cute. And I know he's thinking, "Guy, we almost popped one, and Barney almost broke one when we did this similar thing earlier."
Yeah.
But time and place, like 2.5 minutes left, I don't know if I want to do a jet sweep.
Well, so and last thing that I was going to say, one more positive I'll end on. So that last Nebraska drive, the Cincinnati scored to make it 20-17, and then. Hold on, where am I looking here? Did I lose my spot? Oh, yeah. Okay, hold on. Hold on. Okay. So we get the ball with about 7 minutes to go, right?
Mm-hmm. Some time.
And we took, well, hold on. Was there something else? Anyway, whatever. It's 2017. This ended. Oh, yeah, that's right. They scored. We get the ball with around 7 minutes to go. We went like this, 8-yard pass. 9-yard pass, 8-yard pass, 4-yard run, 6-yard run. And then we did a 2-yard pass, 3-yard run. Then we did that on 1st and 10, we did that play to Ja'Cory, 2-yard pass. Then Dylan got sacked.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like 3rd and 19 and we threw for like 5 yards. But that basically took about 5 minutes off the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd really love to see the offense get that last first down and put the game away. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Nebraska teams of the past would have gone 3 and out.
Yeah,
and Cincinnati,
right. Yeah.
Cincinnati would have
been a minute and a half off the clock. Yeah.
And not gotten a first down. And we would have just run the ball 3 times and not gotten it. And so so Dana wasn't afraid to throw it a little bit. He wasn't being reckless, but he wasn't afraid to throw it, move the chain several times. Of course, if some of those had been incomplete and we went 3 and out and stopped the clock, we'd be complaining about that, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
but it worked. It worked. And he didn't seem afraid. And Dylan didn't seem afraid. And it does matter that once Cincinnati got the ball back, they're pushing because they only have about 2 minutes left. And that's a factor in how the end of the game played out. So we'll call that a positive as well. At least I think Dana, you can trust that like the guy at the controls has a good idea of what he wants to do when you're in that situation.
Yeah. I mean, and look at time of possession. Like we had the ball 2/3 of the game. We had almost 40 minutes of game time. We had the ball. And then I saw another stat that,
it's true.
We ran like half of our offensive plays in Cincinnati territory. Like you can make an argument like we should have got more points out of that.
Yeah.
But if you're on that side of the field more often than not, like that's a good thing.
Well, and arguably the points will come then, right? Like,
right.
I mean, that's something they got to clean up. For now, we'll chalk that up to first game sloppiness and whatever else. Hopefully it doesn't become a persistent problem. But yeah, you're right. Like we did move the ball well. We did get into Cincinnati territory almost every time we had the ball. So we just got to start finishing those drives and getting points. And we have a field goal kicker who can make field goals. So at least get field goals.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
All right, boys. So Thanks to Oak Barn Beef. Go to oakbarnbeef.com. Thanks to Nebraska Farm Bureau. Go to nefb.org. Excited to have a couple of new sponsors for the season. Nebraska is 1-0. Everyone, we're recording this on Saturday morning. We're recording this on Saturday morning before any games.
Win's a win.
So this is going to come out on Monday. But for now, so this Husker fans will be hearing this after the fact, but all Common fans can kick their feet up and enjoy college football with a W already under the belt. This is the best way to do it if you don't actually have a game on Saturday. So Huskers are 1-0, exactly, are 1-0 and have the whole season and everything they want to accomplish still in front of them. Matthew, Jeffrey, any final thoughts?
Yeah.
Survive in advance.
Yeah, survive in advance. I would say is the one word I would use to describe the first game is just expected. Like, I know it's hard to get, like, you buy into the hype. I mean, when the media keeps telling you, like, all these national pundits are picking Nebraska to be in the playoff, you, like you said, TJ, you expect them to score like 45 points in the first game. And this is, I think, where Nebraska just is supposed to be right now. I think we're right on pace for where we're supposed to be. So, can't wait for the rest of the season to play out. That's going to be awesome. One game down already. So weird.
That's right.
Hey, it's better. It's better. 1-0. Beating Cincinnati is better than, say, losing to like Northern Illinois or something like early in the season. Like,
What the hell is that? Are you talking about another team? At least now you know that if you lose to Northern Illinois, you can still make the playoff. That's better. I'm glad that you mentioned that you could still make the playoff after you beat Northern Illinois.
Hypothetical. So
after you lose to Northern Illinois. No names mentioned. But I read you loud and
hypothetical.
I read you loud and clear.
Matt, I got to ask you, when we talked to Abdul Muhammad, you brought up the story about the hat that he signed and you used to wear it and you used to rub the bill for good luck. Were you wearing the hat during the Cincinnati game?
No, but I had it in my presence. It's too small. Nice. It's strong. My head's got crazy thing is my head's gotten bigger since I was 11 years old. So it's, I mean, it's on like the last rung of like that.
But you had it with you though. You had it with
you. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Shout out to my aunt Diane, who's a regular listener. And she texted me to ask because she's a loyal listener. She heard that episode. She wanted to know if you wore the hat. So shout out to my aunt Diane, who's a regular.
I didn't wear it, Aunt Diane. I'll wear it for Michigan.
There you go.
All right, perfect.
All right, we'll be back at you soon, Common fans. We're going to do two episodes a week, most weeks during the season. So we'll be back at you in just a few days. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles.
And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska's.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Keeping your IT team sharp isn't optional, it's essential. CBT Nuggets delivers high-quality IT training led by real-world experts who know what teams actually need on systems teams will actually use. Whether it's staying current on cloud, networking, or security, CBT Nuggets makes training simple, effective, and scalable. No fluff, no wasted time, just smarter, faster IT teams. Thousands of companies trust CBT Nuggets, and yours can too. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and start training today.